Hello, I'm Richard from Play It Green. Today, we're really excited to support the Hospitality Playbook podcast. Play It Green provides a unique sustainability initiative that is free to hospitality operators, where you simply add a removable £1 to each bill. For that pound, we'll plant not one, but two trees and give 10p back to a charity of your choice. And in return, we'll educate your whole team on sustainability and provide you with guidance, resources, and a network of sustainable hospitality solutions and services. We'll help you build robust ESG credentials. The result is increased consumer loyalty. Ready to embark on this journey towards climate-positive hospitality? Click the link in the show notes to find out more.
Before we start this episode, a quick apology that at times I do sound like I'm underwater. There was a little bit of interference and white noise on my end, which I didn't realise at the time of recording. We've tried to clean it up as much as possible, and it's not terrible, but it's not, really, really sharp like we usually have our podcast. So apologies about that, and we will make sure it doesn't happen again. Awesome. I'm with Omar. Thank you so much for being here. Lovely to meet you.
Thanks for having me. Excited to talk.
I'm excited to talk as well. So we've connected on LinkedIn, and I've been following sort of your content for a little while. And when I reached out to you and I said I'd love to sort of explore some of the ideas, and I went through your posts, this particular post really caught my eye. I'm a bit of a sucker. Although I'm not an expert, but I'm a bit of a sucker for evolutionary psychology, and I love listening to podcasts and things about it. So when you wrote about this idea and connected it to hospitality, I thought I have to get you on and talk about that. So just before we do, can you just give us kind of 60 seconds on who you are and what you do, what your day job is, essentially, who you work for?
Yeah, so I run a studio called Studio Circa, and we help hospitality brands, specifically independent and boutique hospitality brands, with their branding, their strategy, and their website. So really trying to drive stronger connection to their guests through branding, messaging, copywriting, and the visual direction of the brand, and obviously more direct bookings for hotels through their website experiences. And speaking to evolutionary psychology, that's actually how I got onto it. I was listening to some podcasts and things like that. It's just a general interest of mine. And I got a book, The Moral Animal, and while I was reading through it, I kind of started making these links to brands and interaction with their customers or their guests. So that's how that idea came about.
Superb. I love that. So do you work, are you only with hotels, or are you across hospitality?
Hotels and restaurants. Yeah. Actually started exactly. Out mostly in restaurants, and now we're moving and focusing a lot on hotels. And I'm a partner in a restaurant as well. So I kind of have that operational insight in some cases, although I'm not as much responsible for that, but I do get to see a bit of the workings on the back end.
Amazing. I bet that's really useful, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
So let's kind of introduce this in kind of a bit piece, because it's a bit of an abstract idea, this, which is why I love it, but it could be quite challenging to kind of get across really through podcasts. So the idea that you sort of put forward on this post is the direct connection between evolutionary psychology and hospitality. So just connect that top bit for us. Let's do something else first. Let's just talk about what you actually learned in The Moral Animal and why that was interesting to you in the first place.
Yeah, so the book is fantastic, and it's taking Darwin's theories and placing it in more of a human scale, let's say, and a behavioral scale, rather than an animalistic, natural sense, which is what Darwin kind of initially came up with. And it really goes into about how behaviors adapt over time, instead of just kind of features previously with animals and natural elements. It's kind of like features that come out and adapt purely because they're beneficial to that organism or species. He was speaking more to humans and how behaviors change based on the environment and based on what's kind of useful to the human in that environment, whether it's our ancestors or whether it's in modern times. And from there, obviously, trying to make that link between co-evolution. If you've seen those examples of the like plant species that looks like a butterfly to attract other species to it to make it grow, or a plant species that looks like a bird to actually push away predators to make it look more imposing. So there's something called like co-evolution or co-transformation. And what kind of I was making the link is between brands and their customers or their guests. And there's a co-evolution between those two sides of the coin. So that's kind of where that initial idea came out of.
Okay. So this is the bit that's hard to get your head around when you first hear it, because you know, you read it or you hear it and you think, yeah, but that's animals though, so I understand, you know, about, you know, having two legs is better than 17 legs, and I get all that. But you know, how are you saying, let's break it down, are you saying the first thing is that brands evolve over time?
Yes. So brands evolve over time, and our the guests and customers evolve over time. So there's certain ways there are certain ways that happens for each side. So brands evolve over time is that they, you know, either start implementing new practices, start implementing new communication styles, different platforms, etc., and visual styles, of course, from the branding side. I'm really biased towards that. But on the other side, the guests or the customer also evolves. So the guest's understanding of digital platforms is an evolution. The guest's understanding of what a brand is and the relationship to brands is also an evolution. So if you think back 50, 60 years, you wouldn't say that customers had a relationship, in quotes, with a brand. They just bought from a company. But over time, that evolution of a brand and evolution of the customer is now a two-way relationship, that guests and customers are feeling like they are part of communities rather than just purchasing from a company, which used to take place a long time ago. So there's this evolution of expectations as well. I'm sure you've seen a lot of restaurants that haven't evolved in a lot of ways, and naturally the guest's expectation is now for brands that are maybe designed in a certain way, tell the story of the concept in a certain way, have like a web experience that actually works. But restaurants that don't have that and haven't evolved, we'll see less and less of them. It's kind of something called selective pressure. In Darwin's theory, it's called selective pressure, where basically the traits that are successful get passed on, and the traits that are unsuccessful like diminish in the population. So I know it's quite abstract to think about. But if you think of what makes a brand succeed, what would you think of first?
Oh God, you're not asking me, are you? Testing me here.
a little bit of a test, but you know, what's the first thing that comes to mind from your perspective at least?
So as in what connects the brand to the buyers? Mm-hmm. Potentially the quality, but I'd probably go quality of product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great one. And over time, how have guests and brands co-evolved to understand what a quality product is? You know, is it a seasonal kind of, if we're talking restaurants, is it kind of a seasonal menu that uses organic produce? Is it natural wine? I think there's a kind of a dialogue that takes place between brands and customers in terms of what is quality and what is not. And in different places, that means different things too. You know, it's not what quality means in the States or in Canada is different than what it means in the Middle East where I'm from. So there's this ongoing conversation about what quality is, at least we're focusing on this specific topic, and that changes over time. And that's kind of what we're saying is the evolution. And the conversation is utterly important between the customer and the brand itself.
Mm. So when I first read this, I immediately thought to myself, well, there must be some brands who are pressured by their audience to evolve faster. Because if you think of a brand who appeals more to younger generations are much more progressive and they move a lot faster and they adopt new trends and things like that. Whereas if you've got a brand, you know, that maybe like a fine dining brand, let's say, who appeals to an older demographic, they're less susceptible to change and trends and things like that. So I guess they'd evolve at different speeds, right?
For sure, for sure. And that's where that conversation is important. And we also can't forget that each concept has its own positioning and its own place in the market. But what we are seeing is that in general, there are overarching trends, let's say, that are driving evolution forward for brands. So even if you're a fine dining restaurant and you do have that older demographic that still comes to you, eventually the next generation who you want to attract, if you're not on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, you know, platform it will be in the future, your brand will not be evolving and that brand will suffer. And that's kind of where the co-evolution comes in. It's like, yes, you have your standards and your kind of positioning, but in terms of evolution of the brand and development is another word for it. If we just think evolution as development, there needs to be consideration for what's coming in the future and what's being successful in quotes currently. So social media is a great example of this because in the beginning it was kind of just a passing thing. It's like, oh, just high schoolers or college graduates. And then a few big brands got on there and it became, oh, just the big brands can afford to be there and push out social media content. And now it's like you have to have a social media presence, especially in hospitality. If you're showing food, if you're showing your amenities of your hotel, like that's how the evolution of technology has developed over time. And it's a very clear example, but we can also think of it in other ways in terms of design, taste, and aesthetics. That's kind of what we see is that a lot of hotels and restaurants are really, especially newer ones who have maybe more greener ownership or just starting out, they understand the need for this in consideration of the market. But older properties, especially smaller properties that are family-led that maybe opened 20, 30 years ago, they might not see the value in that, and those you'll see less of over time just purely because guests aren't connecting with them anymore. So this kind of this passing on of successful, in quotes, traits such as good design, good web experience, good quality, and then a lessening of other traits that aren't successful, like a terrible web experience, no social media presence, no Google reviews. It's kind of thinking about maybe for the audience who's listening, the better way to think about evolution is development. But obviously we're trying to link it to this concept, to Darwin's concept. So we're just using the word evolution.
Yeah. And then, so the other way I was thinking about it in my head, you know, I was thinking back to, I was trying to sort of, although obviously we're a tech business, I was trying to think, well, how does this work for Pillar? So we run many, many small micro experiments. Mm-hmm. A Pillar, you know, changes the landing pages or changing in on website messaging or whatever it might be. So essentially each of those is a micro change and only the good ones stick.
Absolutely.
So that's basically what sort of any business really is doing over time, isn't it? So if you're a restaurant or a hotel, your evolution is, well, let's try this small change to service for a week. Did that work? Okay, no, we'll drop that. And if you, and when you're making those daily, weekly, monthly, over the course of a decade, you'll actually filter out all the experiments and the ideas which didn't work, and you'll be left with a very different business to the one that you had when you started. Is that kind of the right way of thinking about it?
You said it perfectly, and I love what you said, that they're micro experiments. So there's two ways that they can be done. You have the micro experiments that you're conducting, and that's typically how evolution happens in nature. It's very small micro changes over time, especially if you think about like temperature changes and changes in the environment and predators that are around. But that's a very, very important point that I'm glad you brought up and you have experience with, is you can make those micro changes and you see the headline that sticks, or you see the kind of button combination on the app that works best for people to put in information. The other side of it is a kind of macro change where your brand hasn't evolved in 10, 20 years and you see the need for it to evolve, and you do a brand uplift or you kind of hire new management. So absolutely, I think what you mentioned is critical, because it doesn't have to be a huge change. It can be micro changes that over time build up and add up into this new looking business, let's say in the next 3 to 5 years. And what you mentioned is a great example of that.
Okay, cool. So we've talked about the fact that there's, well, we talked about what this idea of evolution is, and really it's just sort of like a development over time. We've talked about the fact that there's pressures from the customers as well as the market and technology, and all these things will put pressures on your business to kind of change. So I think we've kind of, and we've talked about the fact that only sort of the best successful things or successful changes will stick, which is the right way to think about it. And I guess that's the biggest link to the sort of evolutionary psychology aspect of it. So I think hopefully people are following along with us, but can you kind of give us some like tangible, I guess, ideas or things that you've seen or just things that people can actually think about and maybe apply in their own business, which will really sort of concrete this idea for them?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I would prompt the audience more to kind of observe a lot more what's happening in the market and with kind of their guests, you know, if they're a restaurant or a hotel. I think most people in the hospitality space are very attuned. It's a people business first, so they can see what's happening. They can hear what's happening on the ground. And most of like this observation, this writing that I'd done on LinkedIn, which kind of got our conversation started, was through observation. For us as a studio, we're always trying to create the most successful brands anyways. It's more a matter of if there's a brand that already exists and we're trying to help, we have to look at what evolution is taking place in the market and with their guests or with their customers, and seeing what the best strategy is to kind of co-evolve with them and make sure that they are successful in the future. So I'd actually want to prompt the audience to think about things and look around and see how are things evolving and what kind of quote-unquote pressures are happening in the market that are being put on us as a business. I think that's a more useful way to think, and kind of like a teach a person to fish rather than give them a fish. I think that's a powerful way to see opportunities as well that neither I have seen nor you have seen. You know, everyone will come up with their own solutions, and that can create some really interesting breakthroughs.
Yeah. And I would add something to that as well. I think that there's two sort of big places for inspiration. I think the first is within your own industry. So if you're a restaurant or a hotel, there's absolutely nothing wrong with looking at other restaurants and hotels in your industry and seeing, you know, I quite like the way that they're doing service, I quite like the little design aspect that they've got, I quite like the way that they're doing that, and you can just sort of amalgamate all these, you know, great ideas into something new, which becomes kind of your concept. I think that that's the first way, is to take inspiration from people within your own industry as well. But something I really like doing is looking at other industries and seeing what other industries are doing well. So, you know, there will be things that other industries do better in tech than hospitality, for example, or perhaps it's to do with customer service when the person is not inside your venue, you know, such as like CRMs are a fairly new thing in hospitality, you know, so that's, but they've been around in other industries for 20 years. So that type of thing. Yeah, I think I would probably say to people, as you're going about your day and you're dealing with suppliers and you're dealing with, you know, all these other things that the business demands of you, take inspiration from that as well. If you were treated really well from somebody, or, you know, you've seen this great piece of tech that a supplier or a customer or whatever is using, can you actually use that in your business? Would it be applicable?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I would maybe, you know, I'm just thinking about it now. I could provide kind of a quick example just from my experience.
Yeah, please.
The restaurant, you know, like you said, I think taking inspiration from your industry is great, and also taking inspiration from other industries. I'll give two brief examples of those just to make it a bit more tangible, because I think that could be helpful. So taking inspiration from your own industry. So like I said, I'm a partner in a restaurant here, and our service is quite, I don't want to say it's fine dining, but it's definitely more elevated. It's kind of, it's cuisine from the Swana region, so Southwest Asia and North Africa, but not the traditional dishes. They're quite unique dishes that you don't find in any of the other restaurants here that serve a similar type of cuisine. But we had gotten some kind of feedback, and our own observation is that it might not be as approachable as we want it to be. So we were looking around and seeing, hey, how can we maybe add one or two dishes, keep our menu the same, but add one or two dishes that we're seeing other restaurants in the area have this approachability and kind of ease, like you want repeat customers coming day in, day out. Having something more approachable that fits the concept is kind of a way in to do that. So looking around, seeing what's working, but still staying true to yourself is key. So that's something we've observed. And something different, looking at a different industry, is a hotel looking at the SaaS model or the tech industry, where subscriptions are really big. People are it's the subscription economy, as they call it in technology, but applying that to hospitality as well, where you can get kind of a yearly pass at a lower rate, where you kind of the business makes kind of a base level of revenue from that, and then the guest gets to come in whenever they want throughout the year. It's kind of like a season pass at skiing. So kind of thinking about even not just tactics, but like models as a whole, I think can be interesting. That's where looking at a different industry can be very helpful. So yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity there, and I would love to see maybe other people's ideas after hearing this conversation and seeing what kind of insight people have after this.
Superb. Brilliant. Omar, I love that. I'm going to leave it there because we like to keep it nice and bite-sized on this podcast. So what we'll do is we'll put your LinkedIn bio into the show notes. So if anyone has got any more questions about this and they want some answers, then they can connect with you on LinkedIn. And yeah, for me, thank you so much. I found that really interesting. Thank you for your time, mate.
Thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.